Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, as you know, those of you who have been listening all week, I'm up in the far north in the state of Alaska, which is absolutely gorgeous. At this moment, warm, balmy temperatures. Ah, yes, they do get them once in a while in the fall, and we've been lucky. But we're going to be talking today about a wonderful, wonderful thing that you can do with food. How about raw food? No, I'm not talking about celery sticks and corn sticks and all that kind of stuff. We're talking about lip-smacking desserts. My guest today is Jennifer Kornbleet. Her book is Raw for Dessert, and she has previously published books on raw food, but this is something, hey, for the holidays, if you want to avoid certain things, I think you're going to be interested in what we're going to share in recipes, so get those pads of paper and pen handy so you can make notes. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Jennifer, you have been involved with food in a very unique way. Of course, all of us are to one degree or another because we have to have it to live. But you have decided to take it to a whole different level. You are specifically an internationally recognized raw food chef. You also are an instructor. And you have come out with cookbooks like for one person, for two people, something like that. But you also work with people nationwide, and you're a faculty instructor at the Living Light Culinary Arts Institute in Fort Bragg, California, and you also are on the board of directors of the Conscious Health Institute. Jennifer, what got you started in this? Because I don't know of many people, I can't speak for anyone else, but I don't know of many people that are in what you call the raw food perspective, and you've done it, and it's really quite amazing what you've been able to achieve. What got you into that particular thought processing and living style?
Yes, well, I've loved to cook my entire life. My dad was an excellent cook, and I've been playing around in the kitchen since I was about 7 years old. And I decided to become a vegetarian at an early age. I was 10, and I think what happens to a lot of children, they when they realize where meat comes from, they decide to be vegetarian, even if it's temporary. So that kind of happened to me. But at the time, you know, my idea of vegetarian was just eating like macaroni and cheese. I didn't really know how to do anything healthy with it. But I did enjoy cooking and food. And then later on, when I was in my early 20s, about 15 years ago, I met a yoga instructor. I was taking some yoga classes at the time, and he followed a mostly raw diet, and he was very healthy. He was a real example of health for me. So that kind of intrigued me, and I'd never heard of raw food before, even though I'd heard of being vegetarian. But I decided to just try it for a few weeks, and I didn't really know what to do with it, so I just kind of ate a lot of salads and fruits and juices and things like that just to see if I could notice any difference. And I noticed a huge difference in how I felt. And I didn't have any major health problems the way some people do who decide to change their diets, but a lot of things I thought were normal just went away after a few weeks of eating raw foods. My skin cleared up, I lost a few pounds, I had more energy, I was sleeping better, my digestion was better. So I could really see firsthand that changing the way I eat could make a difference in how I felt. And I also found it very creative because it was so new to me. So I just began to play around with it, and then later I went to the Living Light Institute, which is this raw food chef school in Northern California, and there I discovered that not only did raw food make me feel good, but it's a whole cuisine. And I've tried other kinds of healthy food in the past. I hadn't always liked the taste, but I loved all the tastes and flavors with raw food. So at that time, I was a high school English teacher, and I just decided to quit my job and to start teaching raw food classes full-time. That's what I've been doing for the last 9 years.
Amazing. Now, there have been guests that I've had on my show before who have talked about diets that are free of gluten, free of dairy, free of eggs or this or that or the other. And when you start talking like that, most eyes of people start to cross, and they go, oh, please, I've got three children at home, if it's the woman, if it's a guy, he said, you have got to be kidding, I'm not even a cook, I don't want to be bothered with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think that when people can see that you can have good food, and you can have deliciously flavored foods, which makes a big difference, it totally throws out the concept of what I feel is often a negative portrayal, as so often is effectively used in a lot of these ads on television, of dealing just with a celery stick and a carrot stick and going, oh, whoopee, this is what I have.
Mm-hmm.
So you decided to do this dessert book.
Mm-hmm.
Was this fun for you to put together?
Oh, no, it was such a nightmare to have to test 200 different kinds of ice cream. I just hated it. No, I just loved it.
Oh, I can see the suffering now. Yes, I could just see you suffering. It was really, really bad. Now, there has been a big issue about corn syrup.
Uh-huh.
And there has been a lot of conversation about how fructose in the corn syrup style is just really not healthy. In fact, there has been an ad, and I've seen this on television, where they say, oh, it doesn't have any more calories than any other type of syrup, which is true, it doesn't. But they are finding that it's in so many things that it actually is a negative, because there's such a tremendous amount in so many various food products.
Mm-hmm.
So your particular book on raw desserts, when I got it, I thought, boy, I got to see what this lady's come up with, because it just is beyond me that you can do too much. Because I have had some people fix some recipes, and I thought, oh, this is great. I'll never forget the one time that someone who's really into raw food but doesn't have any cooking skills to speak of, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, they said, oh, you've got to try this raw chocolate. Well, I put a piece of it in my mouth, and I thought I was going to throw up.
Mm.
I mean, the stuff was so absolutely horrid, and she was saying to me, oh, this will take care of your sugar craving. I thought, sure, it'll kill my taste buds as well, so that'll take care of any craving. But there is a way that you can combine different ingredients, and I really was quite surprised. Now, dates I know about, and we'll talk about that, but here are some of the ingredients, and you call it essential information in your book. Agar flakes, agave syrup, it's also called agave nectar. You have your extract, black almond. You use almonds, apricots, blackberries, Brazil nuts, cacao nibs, carob powder, cashew butter, cashews, cayenne, which is interesting, but people don't realize how good that is with chocolate, cherries, cardamom, cinnamon, cloves, cocoa powder, coconut oil, coconuts, you know, real coconuts, cranberries. I mean, and the list goes on. And I thought, This is something, because you even included whole cane sugar. Now, tell us, what is the difference between whole cane sugar and your regular sugar?
Okay. Well, first let me start off by saying that my dessert book is not 100% raw. You know, in terms of, if you're talking 100% raw, you're basically talking just fresh fruits, green leafy vegetables, an almond, you know, as close as you can get it to nature. And in my first book, Raw Food Made Easy, it's basically that. But in the dessert book, my primary concern is taste. I want this stuff to taste amazing. So I'm going to be a little bit flexible, you know. So things like the extracts, the cocoa powder, the whole cane sugar, those are a few non-raw or not quite 100% unprocessed ingredients, but I'm using them in very, very small amounts in these recipes. So they're not the bulk of the recipe. So to your question with whole cane sugar, it's used in maybe only three recipes in the book where I really want to get a nice dark brown sugar caramely kind of taste that you really can't get from other kinds of sweeteners. And I just used a very small amount. So what whole cane sugar is it's dehydrated sugar cane juice. So it still has the minerals and vitamins intact that were in the original sugar cane. You're not stripping that away and refining it. So it's a more unprocessed product than white sugar. I still don't recommend eating it in large amounts. And as I said, it's in about three recipes in my book in very small amounts.
Right, and one of the recipes is a vanilla cream brulee, which happens to be one of my husband's absolute all-time favorite desserts. But let's go back to the fact that in the front of your book, in the very first section, now you not only list equipment and various ingredients that will be used, techniques, if you're going to be cooking with nuts, how in some of the recipes they're to be soaked, but you have like almond milk, date paste, chocolate cashew cream, vanilla cashew cream, lemon curd, pastry cream. Yeah, if you're salivating, I know, you're going to hear more. Raspberry Kool-Aid, raspberry jam, caramel sauce, chocolate ganache, coconut pecan frosting, pecan crust, graham crust, chocolate cookie crust. So you've got, interestingly, these particular basic recipes, components, that then go into various desserts.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought we've got to start off with absolutely something that I think would just make anybody that loves chocolate, and chocolate is one of my favorite foods on the planet, so chocolate lava cake.
That
is something, oh my goodness, just reading it. I know. Have those pads of paper and pens handy, because this is easy. This is really, really easy. Now, where did you get the concept for the chocolate lava cake? How did this come about?
Well, have you ever had those little cakes in restaurants where it's like a little miniature chocolate cake, and when you put your fork into it, this sort of chocolate pudding oozes out from the center, and it's warm?
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes.
Well,
it's
that's
wonderful.
What I was trying to recreate, because I love that dessert. So that's what these little chocolate lava cakes are like.
All right. So this is a serving for two people, and that's another nice thing, is that with this book, you're not making oodles of it. Now, if you want to make oodles of it, you can. But if you just wanted to test it to see if you'd like it, you're not going to have a whole bunch, which is
absolutely
great. I think that's terrific, Jennifer. So let's go into the chocolate lava cake that has this yum-yum molten core to it. And it's so easy to make. So I'm going to give out the ingredients, and then you can tell us how to do it. Here are the ingredients. 1.5 cups of raw walnuts. Now, these are not to be soaked. It's just your raw walnuts. You need a pinch of salt, and you need 8 pitted medjool dates. That's M-E-D-J-O-O-L dates. That's 8 of them pitted. You need 1/3 cup of cocoa powder or raw cacao powder. And by the way, get the best. Don't go cheap on this. I mean, really get the best chocolate powder you possibly can. 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 teaspoon of filtered water, and then you need 1/2 cup of the chocolate ganache, which is in the front part of the book. There's that recipe for that. And then you need 2 teaspoons of unsweetened shredded dried coconut. Now, that is optional. If you don't like coconut, and some people don't, then you don't have to have it. Okay, Jennifer, tell us how we put this together.
All right, well, this is the world's easiest chocolate cake. Basically, you combine those first ingredients in a food processor. Now, a food processor is not a blender. It grinds food. So, like a Cuisinart is a brand you might have heard of. So you put your walnuts and your salt and your dates in there. And what happens when you combine walnuts, you put your walnuts and salt in and grind that up first, actually. And that's going to take the place of flour. So this is really a flourless chocolate cake, which is great news to people who don't want to have gluten in their diets or white flour.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to grind up those walnuts in the salt. And the walnuts have enough fat in them that in addition to replacing the flour, it's also going to replace the butter, because it's going to be this kind of buttery flour mixture. And the pinch of salt gives a nice buttery taste. So that's your first step. Grind that to a flour. Then you add your dates. And what the dates do is they both sweeten the cake, but they also bind it together the way that eggs would. So they're going to make everything stick together. So you add in those dates and process that until it begins to stick together. Then you add your cocoa powder and process that to incorporate it. And as you said, you want to get a great brand. I like the Dutch processed cocoa powders like Green and Blacks. They're not raw, but, you know, I'm going for taste here. So you can use a raw one if you want, but I like the deep, dark Dutch ones. So you put that in there, process that, and then the last step is you add your teaspoon of water and then just process that, and that makes the whole thing stick together. So you can see this is under 5 minutes, and that's your cake batter.
Wow.
Yeah, and it really tastes like chocolate cake. And if you don't want to make the molten lava cake out of it, which why wouldn't you, but if you don't, you can make chocolate cupcakes out of it, you can make brownies out of it, you can just make a regular old chocolate cake with it. It's kind of a universal chocolate cake batter. So that's your first step. Then your second step is you make that ganache, which is like a hot fudge sauce, and when it's room temperature or warm, it's runny, liquidy, but when it's chilled, it's like a frosting, so it's very versatile. That has 3 ingredients in it, a little bit of agave syrup, or you could use maple syrup, that's the sweetener, your cocoa powder, and a little bit of coconut oil is what's going to give it that really rich consistency. So you just throw those three ingredients in your blender, pinch of salt, that's your ganache. So now you're ready to assemble the cake. So what you do is you take a ramekin, which is a shallow custard cup that the cake is going to be served in, and you layer about a third of a cup, it depends how big your ramekin is, maybe a fourth of a cup to a third of a cup of your chocolate cake batter. You press that in, and then you put in a couple tablespoons of your ganache on top, and then you press on another couple tablespoons of the chocolate cake batter. So that's going to be your layered chocolatey mixture. And you can just eat it like that, or if you want it warm, you can put it into an oven that's just barely warmed. You would preheat your oven to about 200 degrees and then just turn it off right away so that once it's rested for 5 to 10 minutes, your oven's going to be about 120 degrees or so. And you just pop in that ramekin for about 10 minutes if you want it warm, and there you've got just this gooey, fudgy, wonderful chocolate cake that only took a few minutes to make.
Oh, yum. And, of course, this doesn't have any calories in it. But what
it does have calories.
Jennifer. No. This made with love, it's just not going to have one calorie, and it's not going to go past your lips, but never to go to the hips.
Okay.
It is really going to be good. No, but that's fascinating that you don't have any flour in this, you don't have any butter. All of the ingredients, as you've described, have enabled this to come together. And what I like is the idea of making it and then being able to serve it warm. Because that, to me, all that ooey gooey wonderful ganache inside, and that's just heavenly. Okay, so we've covered the chocolate. I mean, as I said, we had to get to the chocolate right off the bat because that's one of my favorite foods. Now, you have an upside down cake in here.
Oh, that's my other favorite cake.
The jumbo berry upside down cake. Now, we've all heard about the the pineapple cherry upside down cake. I mean, my goodness, so many of us grew up with that being one of the favorite special breakfast items that we might get. And I remember going, it wasn't all that long ago, to a friend's home, and they served it for dessert. And it was just like, wow, we don't have this very often unless we have company. Mm-hmm. But yours is with berries, and I was amazed and how easy this was. Now, this is a jumbo berry upside down cake, and this will serve 8 people. They better not be hungry, so feed them well first before you get it, because I don't know that a little inchy bitsy piece is going to work. I know the guys aren't going to want that small a piece. But anyway, this is what you've got in it. You have a cup of fresh blueberries, 3/4 of a cup of fresh raspberries, 3/4 of a cup of sliced fresh strawberries, 1 tablespoon light agave syrup, and then there's the shortbread crust. So tell us how this goes together, because that's hardly anything in the way of ingredients. How can this turn out so yummy?
This is so amazing. You know, as you mentioned, a traditional upside-down cake is not the easiest thing in the world to make. You've got to make the dough, with the butter, the flour, the sugar. You got to caramelize the fruit. You got to bake it. You got to invert it. It's kind of an ordeal. But this cake is so quick. With the shortbread crust, you put 3 ingredients into your food processor again. You've got your walnuts, a little bit of dried coconut, which you won't really taste. It's just going to lighten up the walnuts a little bit. And you grind that up to a flour with a pinch of salt. You add your dates. You grind that up. That's your cake batter, 5 minutes. Then the berries, you mix with the agave nectar, that sweetener. And as you can see, it's only a tablespoon for the whole cake. So per serving, it's very little concentrated sweetener there. And you mix the berries with that, and they get really juicy, almost like you boiled them in sugar or cornstarch or something. Just that little bit of agave really releases the juice of the berries. And then you're ready to layer your cake. You take a cake pan, and this is a smaller cake of the amounts you mentioned. It's for a 6-inch cake, so you would use a 6-inch cake pan. If you want to make a standard 8 or 9-inch cake, you could just double this recipe. And you line the cake pan with a round of parchment, which is like wax paper, but it's more natural material, and that's going to allow you to invert the cake. So you put your roll of parchment under your pan, trace it with a pencil, cut it out, line your pan with that parchment. That's really critical. Now you're ready to assemble the cake. So first you layer half of your berries, press them down with a spatula into an even layer. Then you press half of the crust on top of that, press it in really well. Other half of the berries, spread them on top, and then press the remaining crust on top. And now your cake pan is full with these layers of berries, crust. Then you take a serving plate and put it upside down on top of your cake pan. And you turn the whole thing upside down, and it's magic. You lift off that pan, peel off the parchment, and you have got the most gorgeous upside down cake that, again, under 30 minutes.
Amazing.
And then you use other fruits. Yeah, I mean, the berries are great, but if you want to do it with pineapples and cherries or mangoes or whatever else, you can do it.
Oh, that is. Now, how would you keep, if you used pineapple, I wouldn't be concerned about it turning, but if you use something like peaches or if you had a fruit that has a tendency, if it's a fresh fruit, then how can you keep it from turning brown?
How can you keep it from browning? Well, this is a cake. If you were going to use apples or pears, I would serve it that day. And with peaches, you could add just a little bit of lemon to it, which would add to the flavor, too, and help keep it well for maybe a day. But this is a cake that you're not going to keep around for a really long time. You know, definitely within a couple days.
All right. Now, the holidays are coming up. And, of course, that one we just talked about, you refrigerate it, and it's going to keep, if you want, for a couple of days. And, again, due to the suggestion she's making, go ahead and experiment with it. You have nothing to lose to just try your own little bits of flavorings or something that, use your imagination. There's all kinds of things you can do. Cookies. They are absolutely just wonderful. I have a very dear friend up here in Alaska, and one of her grandbabies calls her Grandma Cookie because she's always in the kitchen and there's always this wonderful, wonderful opportunity these little girls have to be with their grandma. So the one couldn't pronounce her name and she just called her Cookie because she was getting cookies every time she went over. She still, she's Grandma Cookie. Well, I'm going to share with Grandma Cookie some of these items because I know her grandchildren will love them and she'll love them because they're healthy. She's always looking for things like this. But let's talk about something that for the holidays it could be absolutely beautiful to present, your lemon cranberry pistachio cookies. Wow, what a combination. So let's give out these because there's not a whole bunch of ingredients again in this. This is so easy. You need a cup of raw almonds, You need a quarter of a cup of raw pistachios, that's raw pistachios, a quarter of a cup, a pinch of salt, eight pitted medjool dates, M-E-D-J-O-O-L dates, and that's one teaspoon of lemon zest, one quarter cup of dried cranberries. Okay, let's go for it, Jennifer. What do you do with these small amount of ingredients?
Yeah, it's so easy. Again, we're going to have the walnuts and almonds replacing the flour and the butter in this recipe. So first you're going to take a half cup of those almonds and grind them in a food processor to a very fine powder and set those aside because we're going to dust the finished cookies with that. So you're going to set that aside. Then you're going to take the remaining half cup of almonds along with the walnuts, and you're going to process that just till it's coarsely chopped in the food processor so your cookies still have some texture. Then you'll go ahead and add the dates and process that until everything's coarsely chopped. And then you're going to add, the pistachios will have gone in with the walnuts and almonds also initially. So you process that till it's coarsely chopped. You add your dates, process that till it's coarsely chopped. And then you add your lemon zest and your cranberries and just pulse it in so that you're not chopping up the cranberries too much so you can still see them. And so now you've got this batter that you can form with your hands into little balls and press out into a cookie shape. And it's a little bit sticky, but then you dip it into that the almonds that you ground very finely in the beginning. And that's going to firm it up. And then when you put it in your refrigerator for a couple of hours, those dates get quite firm, like a baked cookie. They really firm up.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so you seal it, and you've got this wonderful little treat. You know, it's great around the holidays for a snack. You can serve it plain with ice cream. It's finger food, you know, so you can just leave it on a buffet table and people can take one. And the flavors are really, really festive. You know, you've got the lemon, but the cranberries are very much appropriate for the holidays, as are the pistachios. So it's wonderful flavors.
Now, let's give another cookie recipe, the ginger spice. That always around the holidays. Halloween's coming up. We have, you know, Thanksgiving, then we've got Christmas. And to have something like this, and what makes it so nice with Jennifer's recipes, if you have entertained, as I frequently like to do, you often will have one or two guests that are vegetarians, or maybe there will be someone that has a wheat allergy. You can always have a wonderful array of treats, but this is something for everyone. And if they do have certain allergies, which I have had guests that have, then something, many of these recipes give you options to work with, and what's even better, you don't have to cook them. This cookie recipe goes in the refrigerator, for heaven's sakes. It goes on a pretty plate with a pretty doily underneath if you want, or a nice linen, and you have got this delicious presentation. Okay, ginger spice. Let's talk about these because these are really going to be enjoyed. You need a cup of raw almonds, 1 cup of raw almonds, you need 1/4 cup raw walnuts, 1/4 cup of raw walnuts, 2 tablespoons of whole cane sugar, and we discussed that earlier, 2 tablespoons of whole cane sugar. Now, if someone can't get the whole cane sugar, Jennifer, what would you recommend as a substitute?
If you can't get the whole cane sugar, just leave it out. The cookies will still be delicious. It just gives a little bit of a brown sugary taste to it, but with the dates alone, they'll still be very good.
Okay, so if you don't have, you can't find it, great, you don't use that. 1/2 teaspoon of ground ginger, 1/2 teaspoon of ground ginger, 1/4 teaspoon ground cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon ground cinnamon, a pinch of salt, a pinch of ground nutmeg, 8 pitted medjool dates, and then 1/4 cup of raisins. Okay, where do we go from here? Now we've got all of these ingredients together.
Okay, well, this is the exact same technique as the lemon cranberry pistachio cookies. So once you know those, you can do these or any raw cookie, and you're just changing up the flavoring. So first we're going to grind 1/2 of those almonds into a powder for our dipping, set that aside. Then we're going to put the remaining almonds and walnuts in the food processor, process it till it's coarsely chopped. We're going to add in all the spices, the pinch of salt, the different spices you mentioned, the nutmeg, the ginger, the cinnamon, and we're going to put in that whole cane sugar, too. It's just a little bit to give it a brown sugar taste. As I mentioned, you could leave it out. You were saying if people can't find it, but popular brands are Sucanut and Rapidura.
Okay.
And so you should be able to find those at most stores, especially the Sucanut. So you're going to add that in, process that, and then you're going to form, and then add the raisins in last and just pulse them in so that you're just mixing them in. And you just form it into balls, you dip it into the reserved ground almonds, and chill it. And you've got these wonderful gingerbready cookies that really taste very similar to traditional ginger snaps or molasses cookies, those cookies that people really love around the holidays.
I want to ask you a question about the almonds.
Mm-hmm.
When you buy almonds, they have a skin on them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want people to use the blanched almonds that have no skin, or do you say just grind up the ordinary almonds with the skin?
For these recipes, you're just going to use the regular almonds with the skin. No reason to get rid of the skins because we're not looking for a white color here. You know, the cookies
mm-hmm.
are going to be beige. And when you grind them up, those skins really just break down, so you're not really going to notice it.
Okay, good. Now brownies, an all-American favorite, I think, again, here we go with chocolate. Couldn't pass this
mm-hmm.
one up. It's 1 bowl of brownies, and this is what you're going to need for it. 3 cups of raw walnuts, 3 cups of raw walnuts, 1/8 teaspoon of salt. You need 16 pitted medjool dates. You're going to need 2/3 cup cocoa powder. Remember, again, use the best cocoa powder you can get. You need 1/2 cup of dried cherries chopped. 1/2 cup of dried cherries chopped. You need 1/4 cup of raw cacao nibs. And you need 2 teaspoons of filtered water. Now, someone would say, listening to this, wait a minute. How in the world is this going to turn out like a brownie? You have
mm-hmm.
got to be kidding. Tell us how we do it, and how is the magic made for this 1 bowl brownie?
Okay, yes. Well, the title of this recipe is really 1 bowl brownies because when you get the package mixes, they say it's 1 bowl, but it's only 1 bowl to mix it. You still have to bake it, whereas
mm-hmm.
these brownies really are 1 bowl from start to finish, and they taste so much like a cooked brownie, you have to try this. You won't believe it. This recipe is very similar to the chocolate lava cake base. There's just a few changes. So you're going to be processing, and so fast, you're going to be processing your walnuts and your pinch of salt in the food processor to make your flour. Then you're going to add the dates, process that to incorporate that. Then you're going to add your cocoa powder, process that, and you've got this right there. You've got your rich cake batter. It tastes so much like raw cake batter. And then you're going to add back in a few walnuts that you've chopped by hand, your chopped dried cherries. That's going to give a really, really nice texture and flavor contrast. And optionally, your cacao nibs. And what cacao nibs are broken up raw cocoa beans. So they're extra bitter, extra chocolatey. They just give you that little crunch. Those are optional, but you could throw in some of those for a little extra crunch. And then you just pulse all those ingredients in, the cherries, the chopped walnuts, the cacao nibs, so you're not really breaking them down. You're just mixing them in. Then you just press this into a brownie pan, and again, you chill it, and you don't even have to chill it. You can eat it right away. But if you chill it for about 30 minutes, all the flavors are going to come together. Oh, and I didn't mention the little bit of water you add at the end, too, which helps bind
mm-hmm.
it together. So you press that in the pan, you chill it, and you can just cut those into squares, eat them right away. If you want to frost them, you can put some chocolate ganache on it. So this is very similar to the chocolate lava cake. We just got a few more chopped ingredients added at the end to give some texture, but they're remarkably like cooked brownies.
Well, I have to tell you, if you aren't salivating by now, I don't know what's going to get you salivating, but I'll tell you what's really even better with this. These recipes, some of them, you can keep them in the freezer. You can fix them up, have them all ready to go, put a date on the outside. They'll keep up to 3 months, some of them, and you just have them ready to pop out for company, treat yourself or anybody else that you like. Now, Jennifer, what is your website that people can go to so they can find more delicious recipes, but also they know more information about your raw cooking and this book, Raw for Dessert, which is absolutely wonderful. Tell us where we go.
Thank you. Yes, my website is www.learnrawfood.com. That's LEARNRAWFOOD.com, learnrawfood.com. And on the website, you can get Raw for Dessert. You can get my first book, Raw Food Made Easy for One or Two People, which has dishes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can also see video clips of me demonstrating some of these recipes. You can see excerpts of some of the recipes from the book. So I encourage you to go to learnrawfood.com to get the books or just more information.
Jennifer, with people that may have a diabetic situation, your raw food desserts, I think, are wonderful because it has ingredients that are healthy ingredients. They can satisfy their sweet tooth and really know that they're not putting in any processed items that perhaps can spike their sugar levels in an unpleasant way. And more than that, you show how to present them. The recipes are easy. You've got sorbets in here. You have so many wonderful, wonderful desserts. Again, the book is Raw for Dessert. Go to Jennifer Kornbleet's website, which is learnrawfood.com, and you'll be able to find everything that you want to find out there. And why not surprise your family and your friends? Give them the taste test. Say, I'm learning how to cook something differently, and you haven't even used the oven. Isn't that the best way to go? You don't even have to break a sweat over this. Just minimum amount of ingredients. Processing is easy, and you're going to be very happy with the results. Jennifer, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. And when we come back, more good things to share with this traveling microphone from Anchorage, Alaska. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and if you would like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is the toll-free number worldwide that you can call in to. It is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you're a first-time listener, welcome to the show. And if you'd like to call in, all I need from you when you do call in at 888-815-9756 is your first name or your initial. Of course, I like to know where you are calling from. Then just sit back, relax, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you can ask me a question about anything that crosses your mind. Also, I want to mention to those of you who are in the state of Washington, you're listening to the show, November 21st, which is a Saturday, mark your calendars, I'm going to be appearing in downtown Tacoma at King's Bookstore, being a participant in the wonderful event, the Dickens Festival. And this is a family event that has been done annually for about 5 years now. It is so successful. It's community-oriented, and the kids just love it. There's just so much fun going on. I'm going to be appearing at King's Bookstore doing many consultations, and part of the proceeds will be going towards the charity that the Dickens Festival is going to be supporting this year. So go to the internet, check out Dickens Festival, Tacoma, Washington, and you'll get all of the details that you need. Also, for those of you listening in Alaska, I'm here in Anchorage. I'll be here through Sunday. And if you want to make a private appointment with me by phone or in person, you can call me at 800-872-8852. Leave a message and I'll get back to you as quickly as you can. That 800 number is my office number, 800-872-8852. Okay, well, Halloween is going to be coming up. Oh, I know, it's a couple of weeks away, but my goodness, people are out and pumpkins everywhere you go. You see these piles of pumpkins. Different sizes. I don't know what the world record for the pumpkin is this year, but last year there was a Guinness World Record. I think it was well over 1,500 pounds for a pumpkin. Amazing. Well, I did want to share a little bit of information. If you're the type of person that likes to carve out pumpkins, if you have the kids involved and you're wanting to make sure that your display will last, when I was in Fairbanks outside of Sophie Station, they had the most beautiful display. They've got these huge pumpkins, and they had, oh, straw bales and all kinds of scarecrow-like things and corn stalks, and they had just done a beautiful job, and it was filled with lights. It was just wonderful. It just really gets you in the mood. Well, if you want to do something like that, of course, dried leaves are perfect, and they're free. You can go anywhere though the leaves are falling to the ground and pick them up. But with the pumpkins, you want to be sure when you're picking one that you've got one that doesn't have any bruises on it. So you want real firm, blemish-free pumpkins. And there is a lady, Lisa Berberette. She's called the Pumpkin Lady. In fact, you can go to her website, pumpkinlady.com. And one of the things that she recommends is when you buy a pumpkin, don't lift it by its stem. Because if you've got a good-sized pumpkin, it can cause the stem to get some breakage, and that invites rot inside your pumpkin. Now, it used to be years ago when you wanted, after you carved your pumpkin out, scooping out all the innards and then baking your pumpkin seeds so you can munch on them later, well, you'd put a candle inside. Well, that's not such a good idea today, and you don't need it today. What you do now, you use battery-powered candles. And you can get them in craft stores, and they're just wonderful because they last sometimes a lot longer than the candles themselves. And you want to do something that I would never have considered. If you want it to really stay in good shape, you want to wrap it up in a dry towel and store it someplace in a cool environment away from the sun. If you live in the part of the country where there is a lot of sunshine, like in Arizona or California, your pumpkin's going to dry out on you and really look sort of weird. So if you want to, during the daytime when the sun is shining, just put that pumpkin in a place, wrap it in a dry towel so that it's not going to get hit by the sun's rays, and then at night unwrap it and show it off. And if you want to keep the edges where you have cut the pumpkin from shrinking, what you do is after you've cut it, you mist the edges of the pumpkin's carved, you know, pattern every day with water. It won't shrink on you, and they'll look like they have just been fresh cut. And if you spray all of the cut surfaces with a cooking spray, a nonstick cooking spray, that's even better. And you also can do something with your pumpkin. If you want to be able to use your pumpkin after the season, whole pumpkins will last all winter, weeks longer than the carved ones. So if you want to decorate them, spray the outside of the pumpkin a color and put glitter on it, paint it. Instead of cutting and carving the face out, paint or stencil a design. And there is a lot of free carving patterns I found. You can go to pumpkinmasters.com, pumpkinmasters.com, or ehow.com/Halloween/templates.html. And that will enable you to find patterns that you could use. And what a fun, fun thing to do, especially if you have little ones and you don't want them to handle anything that perhaps could cause harm to them. And if you wanted them to paint, wouldn't it be fun just to be able to do that? They would have so much fun doing it. You'd have fun working with them. I was talking about my girlfriend that has had two grandbabies and they're under 2 years of age and she's now Grandma Cookie, which I just thought was fabulous. But this is something I'm going to be sharing with her, too, because I just think it's absolutely a great idea, and she just has so much fun with the grandkids doing that kind of thing. So those are just a few tips. If you're getting ready for Halloween, if you're going to be having a party, and you want to just do something special and make sure that whatever you put out is going to stay looking good. Now, up here in Alaska, the temperatures are cool enough, not freezing, but they are cool enough during the day and in the evening. But even here, these tips would come in handy. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. And all I need is your first name or initial, and let me tell you what I perceive. 888-815-9756. Queen Latifah made a comment that I thought was very, very good. Confidence is like a light that emanates from you and makes your skin glow. Confidence is like a light that emanates from you and makes your skin glow. There is something about confidence and that sense of self-awareness that is just absolutely a magnet. People gravitate towards it. Why? Because when it's there, you do seem to be an exception rather than the rule. Take time, next time you're in a mall, or you're just walking down a street, and look at how many people walk with their heads down. They don't look up. Their heads are down. They're looking at their feet, and they're looking side to side. They look so frightened. And what's even more fun, give them a good scare. Smile at them. See what happens. It's always so much fun to me to do an experiment, to just walk along and smile at people when they're not expecting it. And when they're off guard, they smile back, their eyes light up, and it's like, wow, somebody smiled at me. We don't want to get to a point that we become so full of fear that we're afraid to look somebody else in the eye and just say hello or give them a smile. It really is a sad state of affairs when you reach that point. And I see so much of that. I've been seeing it for a long, long time. A smile and a wonderful sense of self-confidence is just absolutely liberating for the people that come in contact with you when you share it with them. Now, by the way, I do want to let you know about who's coming on tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Chuck Alino, and we're going to be talking about lesser-known giants of the 20th century. This is fabulous material. We're going to be talking about the founder of the Bank of America. We're going to be talking about one of the greatest fighters in history. We're going to be talking about different individuals who made a mark in life and had a story to share. And Chuck did the research on this. It's absolutely wonderful. I know you'll enjoy him. On Monday, and you will not find this listed on my guest site on BBS because this was just recently arranged, we're going to be talking with Russell Kara and his book, Cry, Wolf, Cry. Now, this is a novel, but Russell is a person that is totally committed and dedicated to the saving of wolves, and we are going to hear some wonderful, wonderful stories. And also, on Tuesday, if you're like me, you are always interested in knowing how you can keep yourself healthy. Life happens, and sometimes we get, you know, hit over the head with an experience that we have to maybe have surgery or we have to go through different physical experiences, but it doesn't mean we still shouldn't pay attention to what goes on to help our body stay well and to heal rapidly if we do have to have something taken care of. On Tuesday, we're going to be talking with Barry Tan. We're going to be talking about tocotrienols. Heard of them? I hadn't. Well, this is about vitamin E and beyond. This is a component that is in vitamin E that makes a difference in wellness. And then we're going to be talking with Sue Frederick about how she sees your dream job. Noah St. John, we're going to be talking about the secret code of success. And then another physician, Dr. David Clark, his book, They Can't Find Anything Wrong. I think you'll find his perspective on medicine and wellness as interesting as anything we've ever shared on the Donna Sebo Show. Well, we're going to be taking a break for just a moment. When we come back, again, phone lines are open. Give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Oh, by the way, before we go on a break, if you have a special holiday recipe, I would just love to have you email it to me so I could share it with my listeners. If you've got something that is a real winner, that is a favorite of your family and friends, then we're going to share it on the air. So send me an email. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com, and we'll share it on the air. Okay, we're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna broadcasting from Anchorage, Alaska. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Well, technology keeps moving forward. Why? Because there are so many people that are interested in doing things better and better. And there's an old saying, necessity is the mother of invention. And I believe that whoever coined that a long time ago, whenever it was, they were extremely wise and farsighted. out at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, there is the world's first hybrid research vehicle. It's called NARUS, and it's a cool $8 million development, but it is an amazing machine. I've got a picture of it in front of me, and it works both as an autonomous underwater vehicle. It can go and survey very large regions underwater with cameras and sonar, and also as a remotely operated vehicle. It's able to record images and collect samples on command. Now, they did the very first test on this phenomenal machine in May of this year, and it went down 6.8 miles, almost 7 miles, into the deepest part of the ocean, the Mariana Trench. Now, only two other vessels have ever been able to go down into that trench. Now, while it was down there, all kinds of research was being done. And when this machine is in a remote mode, there's a thin 25-mile-long fiber optic tether that will transmit information between the Nereus and the ship that is keeping track of everything. Now, they use LED lights, which are extremely bright underwater, and they're so bright, the researchers can see about 10 feet ahead of the vehicle in real deep water. Of course, there's no light down there, and they need to do that. And there are nearly 1,500 softball-sized hollow ceramic spheres that are packed into the vehicle's two hulls to provide buoyancy. And I've got the picture in front of me, and it looks like something that somebody put together with a Lego set, but it really is a machine that is going places that nobody ever thought we would ever be able to see. And it can handle up to 15,000 pounds per square inch of water pressure. And if for some reason the tether that attaches it to the mothership itself breaks, it can shift into an autonomous mode using its 2,000 rechargeable lithium batteries. Lithium ion batteries, they are. And they can navigate by itself back to the surface. I mean, it's just amazing what these people have thought up. It also, this vehicle, Nereus, will allow scientists to explore the deepest parts of a seafloor, which had been previously inaccessible. And it's going to seek out new species, habitats, and it's going to study all kinds of areas where the oceanic crust has been recycled back into the Earth's mantle. When you think of this, this is like a Jules Verne special. Remember the story of the Nautilus that Jules Verne put together? This is a man, as a writer, was just, he just dipped into a part of the universal mind and had these pictures in his head that today we are living. I think of Gene Roddenberry and Star Trek and all of the series that have followed. And how when that first came out, they ended up taking it off the air. They had no vision. The people that were the decision makers had no vision, but the public saw the vision. They saw the vision, and we know its history from then. And it is still extremely popular. Why? Because it was a concept that needed to be put out there so it would have a chance to come into fruition. You just had the privately enterprise-supported space trip where individuals dropped down into Russia. They went into outer space. Who knows how much money they paid for, maybe $1 million per seat. But they were the first ones, private citizens, going up into space and coming back. I like to think that in our lifetimes, we're going to be seeing the same thing. Wouldn't that be exciting to buy a ticket on a spaceship to go and see what it was like on the moon or someplace else? I'm ready, but they're going to have to bring the price of the tickets down, I think, because it's not in my budget at this time, the prices that they're asking. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back here, right here in Anchorage, Alaska, the traveling microphone in the far north. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We'll talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a fabulous day, and we'll be here again sharing more good things with you tomorrow. Giants of the 20th century. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.